Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things 13th Age. I'm your host, JM, and with me, as always, are Becca and Mark.
Hello.
Howdy.
We have a special episode for you today. We have a guest that we are going to be interviewing, and we have Tim Baker of Escalation Magazine. Tim, welcome to Iconic.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So what is the appeal of 13th Age for you? Like, what do you say in order to get other people to play it with you?
I like to share that it hits the sweet spot between this tactically interesting combat that doesn't require the use of a map or a gridded map. And it also has this balance point with the more story-driven indie, if you will, elements that we've learned from in game design over the years. So it has the balanced PCs. It has that heroic feel that I liked from fourth edition, but then it adds to it the one unique thing, the icon back relationships, the backgrounds.
So getting back to Escalation, could you give us an overview of what it is and maybe why did you start it?
Just a quick correction. I didn't start it. I know that I am often viewed as the face of Escalation, but I want to make sure I give credit where it's due. So one of the 13th Age fans named James Dunn thought it was a shame that that old Icon fanzine that existed prior to Escalation, it made it to, I think, two issues, and then it was no longer being produced. So he wanted to kickstart something new to keep filling that gap. And he looked for volunteers, and I took on the role of one of the editors and the social media manager. So that's why my name's probably always been associated with Escalation. As I started getting the word out on social media, I built the blog, things like that. Then he had some personal issues come up, so he couldn't even see the first issue through to completion, unfortunately. But Sherm Sheftal stepped in and became the lead and the layout designer for Escalation and helped us run that first issue through the finish line. So I was super thankful for that. And then at the end of 2019, Sherm stepped away and I took over. So now I'm the person who's trying to juggle all the different articles and the art orders and such. And thankfully my wife, who does the vast majority of the art for Escalation, was able to learn InDesign in about 6 months, well enough to take over the layout responsibilities. So now it's primarily a husband and wife team behind the scenes doing the kind of final polish and putting things together. But of course, we have this large base of fans that are feeding us the articles that we need to keep this going month after month and year after year. So I'm super grateful to all of the fans who either proactively send us content without us even asking or providing a theme, and those who, when I say, hey, I could really use an article that will fill in this gap, I love that we have people who will say, yeah, I'll write that for you.
Your wife does a great job with both the art and the layout. Mm-hmm. I have thoroughly enjoyed that throughout all of the issues of Escalation.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that. I'll pass that along.
So in Escalation, do you find that you have specific topics that you cover, or how would you describe what you cover in this magazine?
Typically, we do have a specific topic. We don't stick dogmatically to just that topic within an issue, because I want to make sure that there's some variety even within an issue, but also that we give the fans the opportunity when they do proactively send me that content that if it doesn't fit any of the themes coming up in the near future, I don't want them to have to wait for potentially months or years before their content gets published. So we have had a couple of grab bag issues. Sometimes those often proactive articles kind of pile up in a backlog, and then it's the right time to release an issue that's just dedicated to all these different ideas that I've received. But then we have the themed ones as well. So for example, the first themed issue was around horror, which is appropriate with October. And then we had festivals and holidays. We had an issue that was dedicated to Glorantha. We had two full issue adventures for Glorantha. We had one for Dungeons and the Underground, one for the divine, the deities and pantheons of the Dragon Empire, one for the Midgard setting from Kobold Press. And the one that's coming up next is specifically focusing on house rules that GMs have created for their own home games of 13th Age.
So out of all of them, do you have a favorite article, like the thing that stands out as this was one of like your personal favorite thing that got introduced into the 13th Age ecology through Escalation?
That's a really hard one. I try to incorporate as many of the ideas from Escalation into my own games as I can to either play test or even just to get it on the table after the issue has been published. Right now, I'd say the one that comes to mind is the Warrior class from Lawrence Augustine Mingoa. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. It addresses a complaint that I hear frequently about the fighter's maneuvers being resolved after that D20 roll, which I personally like, but I do understand why some people don't care for that mechanic. So the class that he built, it uses the Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition Essentials martial classes for its core mechanic. And there's some more complexity there than the, say, the 13th Age Paladin. You have more control over the specifics of what's going to happen on your turn than you do with the 13th Age Fighter. And it really serves as this nice framework to build characters that are thematically able to fit the archetype of either the fighter or the paladin or even the Bladesinger, for those who are familiar with, I think it was in the Neverwinter setting for 4th edition, there was a Bladesinger subclass, I wanted to say. And so they all kind of had this common chassis. And I really liked that he was able to capture that, but still make it feel like a 13th Age class. And I think it's something that is often overlooked because it is a fan production, and we just have had so many articles and so many issues now. So I wanted to call that one out. And I also wanted to mention my wife, Patricia Baker. Her favorite article was the Midgard character options from Martin Kilman, because who doesn't love like a cat domain, a beer domain, sword dancers, and genie lord warlock packs?
Well, I mean, I've got to say, just going back to the warrior class, I started with second edition D&D, and I played a little of 3 and 3.5, but 4th edition I kind of threw myself into. I really enjoyed it. So that's also one of the things that I love about 13th Age, that they're kind of keeping a lot of the parts of 4E that I loved alive. Now, it's actually almost like what Pathfinder 2 is to Pathfinder. Sort of a refinement and a reimagining and a much more clear version of the game, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah. I hadn't thought of it that way, but you're right. I think I'll start sharing that analogy with people when they ask in the future. I think that's great.
So you mentioned you sometimes solicit to your fans who contribute saying, hey, here's a topic we'd like cover, who wants to try to fill that niche. Is there something that you in 13th Age that you would like covered that you haven't seen yet?
For some reason, I've been interested recently in telling the kinds of stories that you see in the Indian epics and in the Greek myths. So I've been looking at games like Exalted, like Godbound, even superhero games, and then trying to reskin them in a more fantasy setting, just trying to gather information to see how are these games able to capture a different feel than our more traditional D20 based. Even with the epic scale, I find that even with epic tier, you're incredibly powerful, but more often than not, that shines in combat. We do have icon relationships and icon advantages that can help out a combat, but it doesn't always do a great job, or maybe it's just me as a GM being limited by my imagination. Maybe I could use some more guidance on how do you do those just completely over-the-top things that you read about or you see in some of the Indian movies, if you've ever watched any of those. I think it's fun. It wouldn't be the kind of thing I'd want to run forever, but it does seem like a relatively small number of games have even tried to do this. I think 13th Age has the right backbone, the right like skeletal structure to be able to flesh it out with this, but I don't quite have all the pieces yet. So I've been trying to think about that. I run a lot of games for new players, oftentimes at my job. And I work in the tech industry. We have a lot of people who are from all over the world who come and work with us. And I'd love to kind of share the gospel of 13th Age with them. And I do, but I find that sometimes a little bit of a disconnect between what kind of your more Western European fantasy looks like and the tropes that many of us have grown up with who are used to that versus those who come from another part of the world and they think about fantasy a different way. They aren't used to the same tropes. So trying to kind of meld those two things together to make an adventure or a kind of tweak the setting and some of the mechanics to try to better fit what those players who might be from India or from Southeast Asia and other parts of the world, try to help them have a game that feels more like the things that are common to them.
Yeah, it is I have a love of ancient Near East mythology and sort of am getting into like the Rig Veda through that. And it is a very different mindset than sort of our Tolkien-esque Wagner, grim mm-hmm. fairy tales, fantasy that sort of has imprinted on American fantasy that then adds like Conan and Lankmar and...
Yeah, totally agree.
Well, hey, if you are listening and you have any interest in that, we will put in the show notes how to get a hold of Escalation and where to submit for it. Actually, that's sort of my next question. For those who are just listening, where can people find Escalation and how do they submit material for it?
The easiest place to find us is at escalationfanzine.blogspot.com. So that's a great place to start. Whether you want to download the existing issues, you can find a downloads link at the top of the site, or you can find in the top right corner the submission guidelines, which basically comes down to explaining what document and image formats we can work with. And then it provides our email address, escalationfanzine@gmail.com. And once we receive an article pitch, I'll start tracking that in our board. I use kind of an agile software development methodology to manage everything. So our articles will move through swim lanes until they're written and edited and receive art orders and laid out and completed. So it's pretty straightforward, though, from the perspective of the folks who want to submit something. Basically, email us your pitch, your idea. We'll make sure that it sounds like a good fit and that somebody isn't doing something that's really close to that already. I've had that happen once or twice where we needed to pivot a little bit. And then I'll take it from there. You'll send me the content and we'll work back and forth getting the editing taken care of and work on the art order and such.
So our icon here at Iconic Productions is the white dragon, and it is absent from a lot of 13th age canon material. So what is your story on the white dragon? What happened to them? Where are they? And will they come back?
Oh, that's a great one. In the campaign that I mentioned before, the one that I ran for 6 years, in the Shards of the Broken Sky, the players did end up coming across the white. And in that campaign, the Wizard King and the Archmage of the First Age had struck a deal that involved combining their magic to create these magical wards that would prevent the destruction of the Dragon Empire. And one of the wards ended up being powered by the White, who's perpetually frozen at the bottom of this great lake. And in return, the Archmage helped the Wizard King create the first Draco Lich, which the Lich King now claims is the undead White, but really isn't. So that was one of the secrets of our campaign, was that Draco Lich isn't actually the White. The White is stuck in ice, which is kind of ironic, constantly powering one of these elemental wards that were necessary.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I would definitely use that in our games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so one of the discussion points I hear about 13th Age is that with only 10 levels and with the sort of speed of advancement where it's like 16 battles to a level, is that its potential for possibly running a longer term game is a little curtailed. Now, you said you ran a 6-year campaign in 13th Age. How did you feel like it handled a game of that length?
It was a little bit easier for us because it was a monthly game. A lot of people play weekly or bi-weekly. So you could probably effectively take the time scale and divide it by 2 or by 4, depending on how frequently you're playing. But it still was a lot of sessions. We used the incremental advances a lot. I even created some additional house rules for how we handled additional incremental advances beyond the normal number that you would get, because eventually the players would check all the checkboxes in their character sheets and have already taken all the options. So we spread things out a little bit, made it take a little bit longer to go from level to level. That was probably the biggest mechanical way of doing that. Everything else came down to looking at the advice out there and drawing upon some of my own knowledge about how to run a campaign and how to do it in such a way where the players feel like they have the agency. It's not a railroad. At the early parts, it was a little bit more railroady to try to help them understand what are the big themes. I won't spoil anything about the adventure, but early on, a cataclysmic event happened, so to speak, and that's going to happen no matter what they're doing. And that starts to drive those initial motivations for things. But then soon after that, it really became listening to them at the table. What are they talking about in the table chatter? When do their faces light up and they seem excited by something? So for us, for example, early on, they latched on to some of the portions of the adventure that were involving time weirdness without trying to give too much away once again. And I doubled down on that. I really made that end up being the focus of the whole campaign. And then they were able to start using it to their advantage when they hit epic tier. And let me tell you, having epic tier PCs be able to time travel is an interesting challenge to GM, but it was a whole lot of fun. I think it was the most satisfying conclusion to a campaign that I've ever had.
All right. Well, Tim, thank you so much for coming on the show. I realize, I had a whole hour booked, but you were very focused and very eloquent on the topic, so I appreciate that. Where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter. So I'm Phantom_Tim. On Twitter, I'm on Discord, once again as Phantom Tim. And you can find me on Facebook on the 13th Age group. There's also a forum. There's the Piazza forums, and it has a dedicated section just for 13th Age. I'd love to build a little more community. Their forums are a little bit different from Discord and a lot of the more transient social media where it kind of comes and goes, where with forums, you can find them later on via a Google search. If you go, where were we talking about that thing? Google will help you out by spidering the content on a forum. So if we can get some more folks to sign up over there, I'd love to engage with you there as well.
Very cool. Well, we will head over there as well and start talking about 13th Age. Obviously, the thing that binds Iconic and Escalation together is our love of this great RPG. So, Tim, thanks for showing up and doing this interview with us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. This was a bunch of fun. Thanks so much.
So we will be back in 2 weeks with the first of our second live episode. We're going to be talking about giants, how we've used them in campaigns, what we love about them, what 13th Age brings to the table. So if you are a patron of Iconic Production, check out the link. You can come join us live. We'll be interacting with you. If you have any questions about giants or maybe how to use them or how to design them, just bring your questions for us, and we will be doing that in October. So keep an eye on the Patreon. And until next time, good gaming. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron at patreon.com/iconicpodcast. Well, you've been listening to the Iconic Podcast.
If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can contact us at iconicpodcast@gmail.com or call and leave a voicemail at 720-924-1706.
And be sure to check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and new episodes.
Thanks for listening.